Welcome to the Gear Garage Live Show. This weekly YouTube show covers whitewater rafting, river safety,
oh God, I lost my paddle,
gear, and anything else Zach feels like rambling on about.
Well, welcome to the Gear Garage Live Show. It's awesome to be back. I got a few more questions, so we're going to get to questions here in a second. But I first want to start talking about River Hardware. This is an advertisement. You're going to have to sit through this, but it's more than an advertisement. We've been teaching classes, and people show up with gear that just sucks. They don't know better. They just buy like whatever NRS sells or whatever throw bag that, I don't know, they find, and we give them high quality gear to use in our classes, and then they want to buy it, but they've already bought something, and so they're not going to, they want the better thing that we have, but they're stuck with the thing they just bought, and it's just frustrating to me, and I know this seems very self-promotional, and it is a little bit, but it's just so frustrating for me to see people buy substandard gear, spend harder money when there's stuff that does cost a tiny bit more, but it is significantly better, right? Significantly. So that's the reason we have this online store. I'm going to show it up here really quick. We sell things that we import a lot of this stuff from like other countries, like these WWTC throw bags we import from Hungary. It's a pain. I don't enjoy importing things from Hungary, but I just think they're amazing and they're worth importing and they're worth the money. There's also a throw bag we just are going to start selling. Let me find it here somewhere. I have to go. It's kind of hidden right now. But it's a pretty similar throw bag, the Maurice Equipment throw bag. And I've been testing one out. I really like it. It's a better price than the WWTC throw bags. And also comes with that little pouch, like, which, you know, those cost like $40 or $50 on the WWTC. You get the pouch and the throw bag for $155. It's not a rope you use for mechanical vantage. It's, you know, it's not as strong, but it's a great rope. And so we import these from Chile. Again, not fun. I have to deal with customs. It's a whole thing. But it's a better product than what most people are getting out there. And it throws great. It packs great. It's amazing. And we're doing a rescue class that's finishing today. And just seeing people are buying what are called Swiftwater pulleys. And they're not that good. These pulleys are amazing. These Rock Exotica pulleys. And I was just talking to somebody this morning who has a different pulley that was brand new that he wants to sell so he can buy these instead. And I just wish I could have got the word out sooner. These pulleys are amazing. And, you know, some of the pulleys out there don't mine Prussic very well, even though they're supposed to mine Prussic. They're just too big. If you're using it with your throw bag, you need to have like an 11 meter rope for it to even have a chance to mine Prussic. And then just like, what are the best Prussic? Like I honestly believe we should be using either auto blocks or hollow blocks. Like everything else is just substandard. And yeah, just like the site is full of things that I use, I believe in. And I think that a lot of people out there are buying things, not knowing that better stuff exists. So this is just my quick plug for like, if you're going to buy rescue gear, throw bags, just general rafting gear that we carry, like we carry the best stuff. Another example is Orlocks. Please do not buy NRS Orlocks. They don't bend. They break oars. I don't know why they sell them. You want the ones that Sawyer sells where the I think they're bronze, whatever they're made of, gives a little bit. So when your oar pops, it comes out of the oar lock instead of the oar lock not bending and your oar snapping. The NRS Orlocks are famous for snapping oars. And so we carry these ones because we know they're great. So everything we carry is stuff that either we make some of the stuff, we import this stuff. I work directly with manufacturers to provide the best things. This is not my main business. My main business is running river trips. This is just like a side thing I do because I want you all to have good stuff. And it's so frustrating to me when people show up for courses with stuff I know is not very good. And I see it every week. And this is my little rant about this. And I know it's self-promotional, say, you know, buy my stuff instead, but I can tell you we sell just what is good stuff. Okay. Enough about that. Let's get on with the show. Sorry, I had to go on that rant because I just keep seeing this over and over. I'm going to try this new feature that has a poll. I don't know how it works on your end. I don't know if you'll all see it. I don't know how you vote, but it's a new feature that just popped up. And the question is, do you use an externally mounted knife or a folder in your PFD pocket? So if you have a chance to vote, I'm going to talk about Walker knives. Let me move this around in the end. And I'm pretty jazzed on this knife. I just did a video about it yesterday. And I want to talk about knives a little bit at the end of the show. And I'd love to have your vote if you have a second to vote. I have no idea how this works. So hopefully you all can figure it out. Okay, let's get on to questions. I got to keep moving this poll around so I can read. Okay, first question. Cutting down ore shafts that are too long. Oh, man. I don't know about. Oh, somebody voted. That's cool. Thank you. And by the way, if you have comments, if you have questions, throw them in the comments and I'll get to it. I can lend my voice to the fact that the gears. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, we only sell good stuff that we use. So thank you. And that's not how you vote. That is not, you don't vote in the comments. You vote some other way. I don't exactly know how it works. I'm sorry, but it's cool. I guess I'll just see your number in the comments and make some guesses. But if you can figure out the voting thing, that would be cool. Let's see if I can get the voting thing back. There it is. Okay. So anyway, back to the question. Cutting the ore shafts are too long. First of all, I'm going to give you my initial thoughts after reading one sentence. Cutting ore shafts would scare me a little bit. I'm not sure why, but it would scare me a little bit. And two, ores are rarely too long. I'm guessing you'd need to work on ore management and not have shorter ores. I'm just guessing from reading one sentence. I don't know. I haven't read the rest yet, but moving ahead. After watching your video on ore length, I'm looking for solutions without buying new ores. I've toughed it out for years, just getting used to rowing with the ores that are too long. Honestly, it's not terrible, but anyone else who rows my boat complains about the ores. Oarlock to oarlock is 66 inches. Length of oars is 114. Makes mine 1.74. And so using my constant, the oar should be 8'9". Okay, so wait. Your oars are 9'6", and according to my constant, they're 8'9". Okay. So they're about 6 inches too long, which is, to me, is acceptable, honestly. I have a bunch of frames that run, according to the math, say 9'6", and I run 10 footers on there all the time. So I would say, like, if it's 6 inches too long, it's still super doable. But basically, you're basically like, it looks like 7.5 inches too long, which is a bit. I've added counterbalance handles and noticed a little change. Yeah, I'm not a fan of counterbalanced. A lot of you are, but counterbalanced oars are, I'm not a fan because they sink. I don't like oars that sink, and other stuff I'm not getting into. What are your thoughts of cutting the handle and at most 6 inches shorter? I think I really have to stand by the oarlock, the formula. Like, without knowing everything else, there are more factors. The formula isn't perfect. There are certainly more factors. But given minimal information, I'm going to always stand by the formula. And it works 92% of the time perfectly. Again, if your oars are 6 inches longer, there are some advantages, like power. You can even run them over, like, hopefully they're close to each other. Like, when you put the handles down, they either touch or almost touch, because you need a lot of that ore inside. You could learn to run overlapping, which takes a little bit more practice, but then it's really powerful. If you bring 2 inches on each side in and it'll overlap a little bit, they don't overlap up here, they overlap down here. You get so much more leverage, and 2 inches in is only 4 more inches on the outside and could be bomber. But getting them right to my formula is, I would say, standard and solid. So if you cut them down to that, yeah, it would probably be great. Again, you don't have to. I'd rather have them 6 inches too long than 6 inches too short. Too short causes problems. Too long, you can manage with good ore management. And I just don't know I don't know which ores you have to cut down. If they're MXGs, like carbon ones, this seems like, I think it would work. It changes your rope wrap placement a little bit. This is a good question for Sawyer. And if I had to cut down some orders, I'd probably just take him to Sawyer and say, hey, can you guys do this for me? But I'm also nervous to cut carbon fiber personally. Okay, hopefully that answers your question. My quick, again, my answer is 6 inches, seven and a half inches long is a bit long. Yeah, I guess I maybe would cut them down, but I'm nervous about cutting orders. Okay. We only have two questions. This is the second one. Also orders or brands. Big fan of the show, blah, blah, blah. Single hand. Okay. Super nice. Thanks for the nice comment. I'm emailing you to pick your brain on types of orders and not or length. That has been well covered by you. Yeah, I mean, I feel like I've talked about it a million times. The formula is the formula. It's going to be great. It might, you know, based on tube diameter, your torso length, other weird factors, it's the best starting position possible. I currently have 9.5 foot cataract orders on the Air Super Duper Puma that I bought based on your order length equation. Recently, an old Sotar 14-foot boat fell into my lap. Oh, lucky you. The 9.5 foot equation is too short, so I'm poking around the web looking for new oars. According to your calculation, I should get 10-foot oars. Cool. I'm a relatively new boater, less than 5 years, but like to consider myself a solid class 3 boater, as that is the type of water I generally boat. Okay, cool. Your class 3. Based on that, what brand of oars do you recommend, and what are the differences amongst the brands? I'm thinking Sawyer versus Cataract specifically. Also, what are your thoughts on different oar blade types? Do the oar themselves really make a big difference? What would you avoid when purchasing new ones? Okay, so I can make this super simple. Sawyer MXG. It just is the answer. They're stiff, they're strong, they're durable. If you call Sawyer and order them and get extra duty, they're a little heavier, but they're also stronger. So you can just ask them to beef it up and get the extra duty versions, and it's just beefed up. That's what I get on my orders, is the extra duty. I use Sawyer exclusively. Like I think that I've used other orders, especially when I travel internationally. They work. They do the trick. They're orders. I just think Sawyer are superior. It's really hard to beat like carbon fiber oars. Sawyer also makes wood oars, and they make things like the square top, which is a wood carbon combo. Some people swear by the square top. It's a fine oar. I'm not a massive fan myself, but it's they look cool. They feel cool. They're if you like them, you like them. I think you really can't go wrong with a Sawyer MXG. If they're too expensive, then the Sawyer Polecats. The Polecats are an affordable version of a Sawyer oar that's really good. I think that's just going to be my answer. I can't even justify another oar. Like, yeah, that's what I would go with. And, you know, if you want to look cool and feel cool, maybe get the square tops. But the MXGs, again, the reasons I like them is that they're stiff, they're strong. The blade is separate than the shaft. And so if you break the shaft, you just replace the shaft. If you break the blade, you just replace the blade. There is a little bit of give between the blade and the shaft, which you can fix by putting a screw into it. Sawyer calls it solid mounting. I think they call it that, which just fix that little bit of give. It makes it pretty solidly in there. And you just have to take the screw out when you remove the blade if you have to replace it. But you know, you're only replacing half of it when you break it. When you break a square top, you break the whole thing. You have to get a whole new oar. Whereas if you break an MXG with a blade, then you have to get you just have to replace the half you broke, the part you broke. In terms of blades, I'm a big fan of the Dynalite with the full wrap. I think the full wrap is super important. When they just do the tip wrap, I feel like Dynalites tend to break. The full wrap just gives it extra strength, and they're less likely to break. And again, with the Dynalite blades, there's an extra duty version. You can upgrade to like more layers and thicker, which weigh a little bit more, but also just make it bomber. So when I order oars, it's just I just extra duty everything across the board with those. So hopefully that answers your question. And if you want to go cheaper blades than Dynalites, you know, there's some wood blades they make. There's the plastic Duramax blades, which, you know, they won't last as long. They're not as, they're a little they're not as nice, but they're way more affordable. So if you want to, you know, start with the MX shafts and just get the plastic Duramax blades, that's an inexpensive way to get into them. And then when you break the Duramaxes, which they will slowly break almost no matter what you do, then later upgrade to the Dynalites, which should last longer unless you abuse oars. And honestly, the most likely place people actually break oars is in their truck. It's just rigging them poorly, having bumpy roads, just getting bounced up and down. You know, they usually crack on the drive and break on the river. You know, so all the people like, oh yeah, it was just rowing and it exploded, I didn't do anything. That might be true because you broke it the way you rigged it in your truck on the way in, and it just got trashed. So those are my thoughts. Hopefully I answered your question there. And now back to the last thing I want to talk about, which are the Walker knives. And I just got one of these knives. For those of you that know me or watch the show, know I'm a big fan of internal knives, knives in the pocket of your PFD. That's why I'm asking the question. And the reason is that these knives, here's one right here, actually, these folders, this is one of my favorites, just are great steel. Like, it's just a full serrated edge. This is just solid steel. I mean, this knife cost $150, I think, something like that. This is a Spyderco rescue knife. But it's really hard to beat the steel on folders. All of these external knives, especially the NRS ones, are garbage. They're like glorified peanut butter spreaders. They're Chinese steel. Like, and there's some that are better steel, but the retention system sucks. They fall out all the time. So I've never seen an external knife, and I've tested them all. You can tell me, oh, try this one, try that one. I have a box of them in the room next to me because everybody's like, oh, you got to try this one. You know, they all have a downside. They're either not sharp or they don't stay in the holster or both. I have not found one that is sharp and stays in the holster. Whereas these ones, there's a lot of sharp folders. And the Gerber, I wish I had the Gerber here. I usually have the Gerber with me. The Gerber Easy Out Rescue Knife is $50. It cuts through rope beautifully. But finally, there's a knife that is external that has a good mounting thing and is a good knife. This is the Walker knife. This knife is $300, by the way. So don't get too excited about it because you got to shell out a lot of money for it. But it's this really nice, this has a name, this sheath. Somebody in the comments can put it in there if you remember. These are like custom made to the knife, just molded to the exact knife. And it comes out, it takes a bit of a jerk, but it comes out. And this is just beautifully made. I think you can see it, American steel. I am so jazzed on this. And I am pretty anti-external knives because they all suck. This is changing my mind about wanting to wear a knife outside my PFD. I mean, my general take is we wear knives outside on the outsides historically because PFDs didn't used to have good pockets. They used to have just like a crappy pocket here that, you know, you couldn't put a knife in, right? So, but everybody just kind of stuck with knives on the outside. We did that out of necessity back in the 90s. And so people just stuck with that, you know, rescue instructors who were like dinosaurs are teaching, you got to have your knife here ready to go for quick access. Well, you can get to knives pretty quick when they're in your pocket too. Like the new pockets are pretty nice. It's a practice. And knives outside of your PFD, you know, when you're trying to get back in the raft, they get kind of in the way. They make it harder to self-rescue. And I would say being able to self-rescue is at least as important, probably definitely more important to me than being able to cut a rope the one in 10,000 times you need to cut a rope, right? You don't cut a rope very often. You self-rescue pretty often. And so a lot of knives have, you know, thick profiles here. They get snagged on the perimeter line. This mounting system is sweet. And the knife is thin. It's just well designed. It's like somebody who needs a knife and understands the problem with all the knives did it, built it. And that's what happened. Like a river guide was like, hey, I'm going to build the ultimate knife that nobody has figured out how to make. And guys, I have been to meetings with a handful of knife manufacturers where they're like, we want to gather people around to share their thoughts on knives and we're to make the ultimate river knife. They always talk big, but there's so many opinions that they listen to, and some of them are terrible. What they end up making is just a compromise. This is one person who knows what we need as guides and made it. This is not a compromise. This is it. And so if you want to spend $300 on a knife, which again, a lot of you are balking at that, like, oh, it's $300. You have a $5,000 raft, $40,000 truck, $8,000 trailer, you know, buy a $50,000 warehouse for all this stuff. A lot of you who are like, oh, you've got to have that external knife, it's a life-saving tool. It's worth $300. It's a life-saving tool because this knife actually cuts rope. If you have an NRS knife on your PFD, go cut a rope right now. Go get your PFD. Go try to cut a rope. It's like you have to saw it. Like it's a saw. This thing, I'll even show you right now. Pull some rope out. I did this in the show. This is dirty rope. This is just dirty. This is hard to cut when it's dirty old like this. This thing, I mean, that got pretty much all the way through it in one cut, right? That was really good. The other day it went through a one cut. This is hard rope to cut. That time it went through. This cuts rope. You take your NRS, I did this the other day. You take your NRS knife, mine's in the room next door. You're gonna just be sawing this rope over and over and over. Do you want a knife that you have quick access to that takes you forever to cut rope, or something like this that you have quick access to and just goes right through the rope? Right? That's almost there. And again, this is dirty rope. This is dirty rope is harder to cut. If I had brand new rope, it would slice through it like butter. So I'm bringing this up because one, if you're an external knife wearer, spend the $300. Ditch your NRS garbage. Go to this. If you're like, you got to have an external knife because you just got to have access, I implore you just to get this one because this is the knife. There's no other knife that compares in terms of the sheath and the knife. And I know you're like, well, what if I lose it? What if it falls out? It might. I don't think it's going to. This is a sweet sheath. I'm not going to guarantee it. This sheath is sweet. It locks in. It's hard to have it come out. It's a great knife. And those of you that are like, oh, I wear an internal knife like I do. This is me. Because there's no good external knives. You now have an option. This is a sweet option. I'm going to wear this on this PFD. This, I don't like to have, I had a bear claw on here earlier. These pockets are terrible. And so I don't have quick access to my knife when it's in these pockets. So I want an external knife on this PFD. When I wear one of my other PFDs and I have quick access through a clamshell, I can get those knives in like 2 seconds. So I'm fine with an internal knife. So anyway, those are my thoughts. I just want to share. This is something I'm super excited about. I got one. I'm like, yeah, it's going to be another crappy knife because I'm told all the time to try this new knife. I finally get my hands on one of these, and that thing is sweet. Okay, comments. So I got 100% votes on Pocket Folder, so you're all doing that. Great. That's what I do too. A lot of twos here. Sean can't use the vote thing. There's a two. Yeah, that is what the instructors say. What do the instructors say? I have no idea what the instructors say. Guys, my other rant that I don't want to do because I'm going to get flagged for it, but I'm going to do it anyway, is there are a lot of rescue instructors out there saying garbage. I said it. Because we teach rescue classes too, and I teach classes to people after the rescue classes, and they come in and tell us what they learned, and I'm just like, dude, who taught them that? Like, for example, we had somebody in a rescue class last weekend who said their instructor told them, you can't only throw throw bags underhand. You can only do that. You're not allowed to throw bags overhand. Well, we had them try both, and it turns out overhand was way better. Why would an instructor tell somebody that you have to throw underhand? That's insane to me. So, like, I hear things like this all the time. The rescue instructors are telling people that I think is wrong. And I see what they post on Facebook, and, you know, see some stuff like people rappelling using throw bags, which are not rated to rappel, people attaching to the little loop on their Astro Green jacket to rappel, which is, again, not rated for anything. You know, I'm seeing this in photos that people are posting. And so I'm on a personal rant right now that we need to, rescue instructors probably need to get together and come up with some base standards for what they say. So when you say, yeah, that's what the instructors say, I'm always a little worried, but tell me what he said. Sorry, this set me on a whole rant that I didn't want to do because I'm going to make some people mad. Sean uses a folder up. Might buy the Crux. Yeah, I mean, the Crux is sweet. Kydex. Yeah, that's what it's called. Yep. And on the Green Jacket or an Indus, you can mount the knife between the floating chest foam. Yeah, I've done that before. I have an Indus right here. I think what he's saying is, right, this is the Indus. So this is my Indus. You have a folder right here. I mean, it's a pretty sweet spot. I might lose it, which would be a bummer, but I haven't yet. And what he's saying is you can mount the knife in here, in this area here. I've mounted bear claws in there before. The problem with having it mounted there, I'm going to sit up higher so I'm better in the frame today. The problem with mounting it in here is you only have one hand access, right? If it's mounted here, you're not going to reach around with your left hand to get it. So you lose one hand access. Like, I think one thing that would be nice about mounting your knife is that you can get to it with both hands. Like this one I can get to with this hand, this one I can get to with that hand, right? When you mount it back here, it sticks out to one side. You don't have two hand access, which is fine. You know, it's not the end of the world, but I'd prefer to have it mounted for two hand access. So if I was to wear the Kydex knife, I probably would put it here because it's the only option. But you know, the problem with the Indus is it's so thick in the front that it's already hard to get back into boats with this PFD. This is not designed for rafters. You might think it is. This was designed for kayakers. And so instead of being longer, they made it fatter, which makes it harder to pull yourself back into a boat. You throw a big knife here, it makes it even harder. A smart place would have been for a knife thing would have been down here somehow, but this is a weird meshy thing, so probably not. But anyway, those are my thoughts about that. I think about this a lot, and I just wanted to share my thoughts there. Okay. Let's see, Sean. Can you put that knife in the sheath in either direction? I don't think so. I think it's pretty one way, right? I don't think it goes in like, it doesn't go in like that. It goes one direction. And on that topic, thanks for bringing this up, Sean. I see a lot of people mounting their knives up high, like up here, like attaching it here. I am not a fan. I do not want my knife close to my neck. Especially if it's mounted in a way where you pull it and the blade's facing your neck. If it's facing away from your neck, maybe, but really think about if the blade is facing your neck, if it's this high. But I don't want my knife up high. Some people do it. I'm not going to put my knife close to my neck, but whichever way it's facing, it's just, I'm not going to do it. And somebody just did cut their neck with a knife recently. So it's not like, it's a thing that can happen. Okay. Haldor, what's up, Haldor? This knife is actually the first external knife that actually makes sense. The price is a tough one when compared to the Gerber, though, which I got on my vest. Yeah. The price is rough. I think it's like a lot of things out there, though. If you want something well designed and well made, it's going to be expensive. And like, he just can't make it affordable. He's basically hand making these custom in small batches. And so I get that it's outside of everybody's price point, probably, or a lot of your price points. I get it, but at least somebody's making something good, right? This is an example of excellence instead of just the garbage that everybody's buying. Again, those of you with NRS knives, go cut a piece of rope. Just go see if you can cut rope. I just see what it does. I'm curious to see how your Spyderco. Yeah, no. What's crazy? I did this the other day. It doesn't. That's a great question. So the Spyderco has a longer serrated edge, right? It's longer, and usually the length of a serrated edge, in my opinion, is better. The Walker right here has a short serrated edge. My feedback to him was like, make that serration go longer, right? Why would you not have the serration go the whole edge of the knife? So like, there's more serrations. The serrations are what I think are cutting the rope. Like the rope goes through and the serrations are what's making the cut. So you would think this Spyderco, again, the Spyderco is high quality steel, longer serrations, also a better grip. Like, it's hard to grip this thin knife. You know, it's harder to get a good grip. This particular knife has a big, thick grip. This thing should cut better. And it's about the same. Maybe a tiny bit worse, actually. Right? Let me try it one more time. Like, the Spyderco is, I mean, it's weird. I would think this would crush the Walker knife. But when I test it, that was about the same. I'd say, like, after doing some tests, they're about equivalent. I think there's something about this steel that might be better than the Spyderco steel, which is hard to believe because Spyderco steel is so good. And this has fewer serrations. But after doing a bunch of cuts, I would say they're about the same. And I'm going to give a slight edge, no pun intended, to the Walker knife. It's hard for me to do because I'm a huge fan of Spyderco. That's just my, and again, based on my, like, whatever, non-scientific study. Okay, I was making a comment on how to answer the poll. The instructions say type 1, 2, or 3 in the chat. Wasn't trying to set a rescue. Okay. Yeah, sorry. It started because it's been in my head. Ever since we were teaching a class and a student said, their previous instructor said, you can only throw underhand. That just set me off. In addition to seeing some recent Facebook posts of some stuff, I'm on a rant about the quality of instruction of rescue instructors' knowledge. I shouldn't say that. I take all that back. Looks like your Spyderco is the assist model, which is using a VG10 steel. I think this one is called the assist. You're right. It says Japanese, so it's Japanese steel. I mean, Japan's known for the steel. It says H2 on it. I'm not an expert in steel, but I do like Spyderco steel. I've got a lot of Spyderco. Here's another Spyderco knife. It's just like my day-to-day. I love this Spyderco right here. They just make really good knives. And this was what I thought was the best cutter before, but this thing has really blown it away. This little, small, well-constructed knife. All right. Just wondering what else that instructor. Yeah, I mean, I was talking to somebody last night about their first rescue class, and they did a 3-day curriculum in one day and got signed off. Like, I don't know. I need to stop ranting because I'm going to make people mad at me. And it's probably not my place to talk about this. Just the things I'm hearing, I just need to shut up about, but I just need to shut up about it because it's frustrating to me. Okay. Well, that is the show today. I got nothing else for you all. Thanks for watching. Thanks you all for, you know, commenting, supporting the channel, leaving comments. I'm pretty busy for the next month, but I'm gonna try to do as many shows as I can. I've been motivated to make more videos. So you'll see some videos pop up here and there. And yeah, but again, thank you all for supporting the show, for everything. It makes it really fun for me, and I appreciate it. So thanks for watching. See you next time.